Hello and welcome to Ace Your Space, Declutter Your Life, Free Your Time, and Reclaim Your Energy. My name is Leanne Pruitt. I'm your host today for this interview series, and I am so excited with our guest today. We have Michelle Boss here. Michelle, thank you so much for joining us.
It is an absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me, Leanne.
So let me tell you guys a little bit about Michelle, who she is and what she does. Michelle Boss is also known as the Money Boss. She is a personal finance coach and educator in Livermore, California. You know what? She's also doing something that I think is so cool. She's developing the Livermore Valley Wine Country Inn. I can't wait to hear more about that. And what Michelle does is she guides her clients to financial peace and freedom via one-on-one coaching. With Money Tools and Accountability, Michelle addresses such topics as money mindset, entrepreneurship, budgeting, credit and debt management, investing, establishing success habits and behaviors for a lifetime of financial wellness. And the reason that I really wanted Michelle on here to speak with you guys today is because, you know, for me, clutter is not just the piles of stuff in your floor. Clutter is everything, and financial clutter is such a huge thing, and I know Michelle can really kind of educate us about that and speak more to that one. So Michelle, I just kind of want to get right into that inn thing. You know, you're a financial coach, but you're developing this inn in Livermore, California. I think that's so fascinating. So tell us about that and how you got started doing, well, the financial coaching and also the developing the inn. I'd love to hear about that.
Well, of all the labels that we give ourselves, right, I would definitely describe myself as an entrepreneur. When I left corporate back in 2017, I knew I did not want to work for anybody again. I wanted to work for myself, and taking a look around, I was fortunate that I was able to take some time off and really determine where I could make a difference and align that with my strengths and interests. So taking a look around in my community at friends and family, I realized that there were a lot of things going on, especially, you know, coming out of the 2008 housing crisis. And my hometown is Stockton, the foreclosure capital of the U.S. during that time. Realized that, my goodness, there's so many smart people I know, college educated, you know, life educated, really good heads on their shoulders, common sense wise, and, you know, making these financial decisions that had some pretty dire consequences. And getting to the root of that, we are not taught money. We are not taught money in the education system that we grew up with here in the U.S. And I just saw a huge need. So that's how I went down this path on financial coaching. I have a numbers background. My dad's a CPA, retired now. I grew up in his practice. So I felt very pulled to finances and behavior as well. I studied psychology, behavioral psychology in college, and so much of money, right, is our stories, mindset, and behaviors. About the same time I was leaving my corporate job, my husband pointed out this parcel of land right here in Livermore, and this is wine country. This is the actual original wine country in California. Not many people know, because Napa is so popular, they went through a whole marketing campaign several decades ago that Livermore did not. But there's over 60 wineries here. We have one boutique bed and breakfast in existence, and so many visitors. So when my husband pointed out the parcel of land that we're developing now, it was just like light bulbs going off, you know, maybe like an entrepreneur with a great business idea. And it's not like I dreamed of becoming a hotelier or keeping an inn. In fact, it took a whole year to sit with that and determine, like, yeah, I want to go for it. I'm ready for it. This is a great opportunity, and kind of started pursuing it from there. Never looked back. We're now 2.5 years into it and just a couple months away from being shovel ready. So it's been a long time pursuit. We've still got a ways to go. And the goal is to live on site and manage that business. Mm-hmm. And it fits perfectly with my passion for financial education and coaching, because it's just more business and life experiences I bring to that experience with my clients. So.
I love that. That is so cool that you are like marrying two somewhat diverse things, but still like interest to you, and you're able to marry them into what you're doing.
Why not?
Exactly. All right. Now, let me think about this. What do I want? What diverse thing do I bring into decluttering? I don't know. I'll think about that. You know, when you were talking about why you got into the, financial management and the money boss end of things, you mentioned like so many smart people making bad decisions with money, or, decisions that had, adverse consequences. I got to thinking, the thing that popped into my mind, and tell me if you've heard this before. I think I remember sometime reading something about that. It was in China or one of the, Asian countries, where because of their language and because of how they speak about money and how they use money, how money is used in their language, they save much more. But us and how our English language is, there's something about our English language that makes us tend to think of money as some commodity to spend. It's not, we don't naturally think of saving. Have you ever heard that before?
I have not. I fully recognize different cultures though, and the value that they would bring to money, even from saving to, how they relate to it. Certainly here in the US, there's a lot of stigma, good or bad, associated with money and business and our profits, and just this culture of haves and have nots, right? The 99% versus 1%. So I think there's a lot of work that individually, and that's where it starts, but as a entire society as well, work that we have to do around how we view money and how it serves us.
Well, and you mentioned it right there. It was like how we view money, and it was, I've got to go look this up and figure out what it was, so I don't think that I'm crazy and made it up. But it was actually something in the way that the different cultures speak about money. And so often it is how we view things and speak about things that sets us up for the behaviors we have.
And so much of it is learned throughout our lives, starting very young in our households, which we don't have control over. A lot of the money stories are things that we hold on to today. The way we perceive people with money or people without money have so much to do with years and years of programming, both in our households and the family dynamics, as well as on television and all the ads targeted at our minds, right, and how to spend money.
Yes. Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, there's certainly not a lack of those. That's for sure. We're consumers. I mean, even the term that we use for ourselves, we are consumers. We go consume things, it's fascinating.
That's right.
The name of this series, Michelle, is Ace Your Space, Declutter Your Life, Free Your Time, and Reclaim Your Energy. And I'm just wondering, when I say that, what is like Ace Your Space or the name of this series? What does that mean to you?
I truly am an organizer at heart. You and I have always shared that connection. And, as you pointed out in the introduction, there's so many areas of our life that we can have clutter that can hold us back, that can cause, unclarity. And so we shared a quote, a week or so ago about organizing. And I just want to share that here with the audience. For every minute spent in organizing, an hour is earned. And that's from Benjamin Franklin, who has quite a few financial quotes out there, inspiration, but it's so true. And it is one of the very first things that I work on with clients is let's organize things. You know, let's visually organize everything that you, so you can see what's going on. Unless you have a very simple or simplistic financial life, mm-hmm. which I believe, you know, is possible when you're younger, but even mm-hmm. by the time you graduate high school and start getting into college and creating goals and, you know, having to evaluate different financial opportunities for further education, for example, or starting a business, you really need to get things down on paper or organized in some visual way so mm-hmm. that you can see where you're at, see what's coming and going, and make informed decisions, you know, that support your strategy or that are just smarter than, oh, this sounds good, or, you know, this is a problem I have to solve. This is how I'm going to do it. There could be 3, 4, 5 or more options or solutions to whatever issue you're dealing with. And just by being organized and taking a strategic approach, you can be really smart about this. Same with reaching goals, mm-hmm. right? When everything is down in front of you and you can see exactly what you're dealing with, even if you have no idea of what your next step is, that is the first step. And almost always after or through that process, you know, the next little step become clear so that you can just be in action and take steps towards those financial goals. It's a wonderful feeling of peace.
Oh, absolutely. I know it is. And one thing that just kind of jumped out to me with what you were saying there, like talking about like organizing it so that you know what's what. I think, you know, so often with our financial clutter, with our physical clutter, with all sorts of different types of clutter, it's like when we don't really know what we have, we can't really... we can't start to formulate a plan for where we want to be. If we don't know where we are, we can't formulate a plan for where we want to be. And also a lot of times people build it out to in their mind to worse than what it is. It's like, oh, it's going to take so much to do this. I'm just not even going to start. I don't even want to look at it. And I guess in some cases it could even be worse than they're thinking of. And the fact of the matter is to actually know where you are is just hugely important.
That's right. Sometimes it's not as scary as you're making out to be in your mind. And if you just take it in small chunks, it's mm-hmm. doable. Anything's doable.
Exactly. Well, you know, like I mentioned in the introduction, the reason that I wanted to have you on the series is because, like I said, clutter is not just physical. It's, you know, it's financial, schedule, spiritual, emotional, you know, I could just list things out for a long time. And of course, you know, and cluttered finances is a big thing. So what things have you seen like become available to people when they do clean up their finances, when they can actually address that and feel confident and have a plan? You know, maybe they're not completely cleaned up, but they're in the process of cleaning up their finances. What becomes available to people?
So often when we have the disorganization, right, it's we're living in this state of confusion. So I would say one of the biggest things that opens up for people is clarity. And what that looks like in finances, you know, there may be symptoms such as debt and that you just can't get rid of, or, you know, you really want to buy a home. You're clear on that goal, but you haven't made any progress for years. You know, this has been a goal, or fill in the blank goal, right? Vacation, right. Starting a business, creating something in your business, paying off student loans, whatever your goal is. If you're not seeing progress towards that goal over time, that's also a symptom of, okay, what can we do differently to achieve different results? And so that clarity that comes once you start decluttering and organizing your finances and seeing what you really have to work with, it's like, okay, what do we have to work with? Now we can really assess a plan. Another thing that frees up or just dissipates, you know, which you've already touched on, is worry, anxiety. When you have this weight on your shoulders, and that's actually what I hear a lot of clients say, I feel like a weight's been lifted off my shoulders. Mm-hmm. When you've been in this state of anxiety for so long over, you know, bills you have to pay or making things happen, because money isn't everything, but everything comes back to money, you know, whether you're in a philanthropic endeavor or business or just, you know, a home care homemaker. It all has to do with money. So when you can lift that burden and have a really clear plan, say, okay, it's not as bad as I thought, or okay, it's bad, but here's how we can dig out. Here's a plan and start to get traction. That is such a freeing feeling. Mm-hmm. And that worry and that anxiety, instead of being a persistent, constant feeling, you know, goes away. Maybe it'll come back occasionally, but you know, when you have a plan and you can see that you're making progress towards that, it's very hopeful. It's a wonderful feeling to know that you can finally meet that.
And you know, and I think that probably is like a huge key with any kind of clutter. When you're not making progress on cleaning it up, we'll say, or addressing it, there is a lot of anxiety that goes with it. But even when you do have, you still have financial issues or clutter issues or whatever your issue is. But once you've actually, you know, been honest, taken a look at it, know what's there and have a plan, it really does free up a lot.
And it's rewarding for months and years afterwards, you know, just yes. From working with you and your techniques that you teach. You tackle one area, one closet, one drawer. It's like you reap the benefits forever after that, as long as you're maintaining the space. Mm-hmm. And it feels so good every time you go to that space. So imagine, right, with finances, every time you sit down to review things or pay bills or organize, it's a refreshing feeling, mm-hmm. like such a rewarding feeling for having that organization in place.
Yes, that is such a, it's such a nice thing to have a refreshing, rewarding feeling when you take a look at stuff like that, instead of like, oh, where am I going to find the money this month? So it's such a, brings such a different energy to the whole thing. All right. Now I have a question for you. What has your relationship to physical clutter been throughout your life? And has there been an impact to you on you, because of that?
Well, a story comes to mind from when I was younger, living with my dad, and he, you know, had a full CPA practice. I mm-hmm. shared that he was a CPA that I helped in his firm, but he wasn't always the most organized. And, you know, our garage was full of clutter. Mm-hmm. And I would help him because I was older by this point, maybe in college, graduated from college. And mm-hmm. it literally hit me on the head. I was trying to pull out the lawnmower or something, you know, and something fell on my head. And I was like, that is it. That is the wake up call I need. I am moving out. It just got to such a point of frustration. And I think that, you know, personally, that's a pattern that I've seen, and probably a lot of people can relate to. If it's a little bit off or a little cluttered, you know, you can live with it. But when it builds and builds and builds to the point where all of a sudden you just look around, it's like, I need to do something about this, or it's going to physically and mentally harm me, you know, hold me back, keep me from my highest potential. And, you know, I'm talking about lots of different types of clutter now, but, you know, I would say that, it's definitely an ebb and flow. It's, right. It's like laundry. I kind of equate budgeting to the dishes or laundry, right? It's never completely done.
Right.
You might be caught up for a little bit, but it's always a chore that you have to address and just stay on. Otherwise it's not pretty.
Yeah, that laundry does keep coming, doesn't it?
And the dishes.
And the dishes, yes. Well, and that's it. And I think that when you have a system to deal with the laundry, the dishes, the budget, and it becomes habitual, it's just so easy to do. You just do it. And then you've got more time for, you know, to do the things you want to do, or to, you know, reach out and do different and interesting things.
That's right. When you can embrace, that's how it is, and this is really the vision or how I want it to be, and build in those intrinsic or extrinsic rewards. I'm not going to lie. When I sit down with my, you know, finances, I don't, my glass of... is not filled with water.
My beverage water is not filled with water. Got it.
Every month. you know, make it fun. Bring in things that are pleasurable, so that when you're done, you know, balancing your checkbook, that may feel really good to have everything organized and caught up and the bills paid. For me, it's just the best feeling. I love it. I could do it all day. But not everybody's like me. Maybe you sit down for an hour and then it's on your calendar, you do it, and then you can go do something that you really enjoy. Schedule that right afterwards so that you're having something to look forward to, if that's what it takes to get you motivated.
Perfect. I love that. Now, when people start on a path to clear up their finances, what pitfalls do you see people run into?
First and foremost is not getting started. Procrastinating, procrastinating, procrastinating. And then secondly, you know, I see a lot of people start and get traction and then fall off the bandwagon, right? Happens with an organizing project. We get halfway through the garage and the project peters out, or, you know, sticking to a budget. It's one thing to get that motivation to sit down and create that spending plan and look at everything, but then what are you going to do with it? You really need to instill or create those habits. So I would say those are two things that I see quite often that sabotage or self-sabotage people, and also getting derailed. I'll add that as a third point where I see people fall off the bandwagon. It's like, there's this great idea or great vision that they're working towards, and then the next time I talk to them, they're like on to something else, right? Squirrel syndrome.
Shiny
object syndrome. And so really rooting in that goal and sticking with it, you know, manifesting things takes persistence and patience. Yeah. It really does. Not only the aligned action steps, step by step, step by step to get closer to it, but persistence and patience. And if I can just circle back to the project you had me share at the beginning of our interview, you know, that is a perfect example. I had no idea it was going to take me 2.5-3 years just to get to the point of breaking ground.
Right.
But it's still there. We're, you know, we're working towards it and making progress. Mm-hmm. It's hard to explain that to the kids. You know, we thought the thing was going to be built already and we'd be moved.
It's like, we want the pool. We want our friends to come over and party at the end. So it's like,
calm down. They don't understand the whole process. And we don't always either. We don't understand all the things that have to line up sometimes, the work we have to do to let go of other things. declutter, you know, clear spaces, ace your space to allow that space for other things to come in and manifest.
Well, thinking back on, you know, what you said, like the things that derail people is like that they don't get started, or that they, you know, they don't, once they get started, they have some traction, then they, you know, fall off the wagon or something like that. But I think also, if they set up a budget and they're finding that it's difficult to work with, there are ways to look at that and shift things. And maybe that's like they stop at that point instead of saying, well, let's look at this and how can we shift this so it's a little bit easier. So it's like they, you know, they say, this isn't working, we're just going to stop, rather than exploring, okay, this, we need to tweak this, that kind of thing. So
you're so right. Sometimes it's just a little tweak here or there to get that breakthrough or to find success. And that's when it really helps to have accountability. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe your spouse or best friend or a coach that can come in and just take a step back and look at things objectively, because mm-hmm. they're not as emotionally tied or invested. You know, mentors, I would not be where I am today without all of the mentors that have been helping me along the way, just mm-hmm. to help tweak here or there and shift things, you know, to get back on track. Sometimes that's all it takes.
Well, and I think the thing you just mentioned, like mentors, anytime anybody sets out to clear up the clutter in their life, whatever it is, whatever form it takes, we are often so emotionally vested in that clutter and what it's doing for us, what it represents for us, what it's stopping us from. It's like we need somebody outside of the situation to really help give us perspective on stuff. And I mean, it's absolutely what it is with finances and stuff.
And decluttering your physical spaces, right? I mean, why not increase your learning curve mm-hmm. if there are 3 or 4 different techniques that we know work? Mm-hmm. Don't you want to know about those to help yeah. your journey, right? Like, exactly. It's a no-brainer for me. Any elite athlete or, you know, businessman will, or anybody who is accomplished in their field, educationally, research, they will tell you that, you know, they've had mentors and champions all along the way, coaches, to not only help guide them, but provide inspiration and pick them up, you know, when things aren't going so well, because there's always ups and downs, right? We're always going to get
this at yes. some point. Mm-hmm. All right. I've got a couple of questions I want to ask you here. What was your favorite book as a child, Michelle?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is The Little Engine That Could. My mom would read that to my brother and I. In fact, we insisted every night that she read it to us, sometimes multiple times. And then I would read it to my brother, and he, you know, when he could read, he'd read it to me. It is just the most endearing, charming little story. And thinking back, you know, ultimately, it's about not giving up, never give up. And the little engine that could, right, puff, puff, puffed his way and saved the train and saved the day, and when everyone else was telling him that he couldn't. So
I love that. That's so cool. Cause that really was, I loved it. The little, I think I can. That's neat. I knew you and I were on the same wavelength.
Yeah. Sometimes you just have to not listen to what other, you know, negative voices or discouraging.
Yeah, that little engine didn't, did he?
That's right.
Okay, now I have another question for you. When was the last time you did something for the first time?
This is so fun. I would say like this week. I'm always trying new things. I mean, that is one thing about me. I like to mix it up. I don't like to get bored. So I am always trying new things, whether it's a recipe or reaching out, because I've actually been recently diagnosed with some autoimmune disorders. Mm-hmm. So that's been a healing journey for me with my health. You know, reaching out to a different or a doctor or specialist, or trying something new, not giving up, right. And accepting things the way they are. And when, you know, things are not working, or fast enough, not happening fast enough for me, which is every entrepreneur's story, right? You got to try something new. You have to try something different if you want different results, right? Was that an Einstein quote? Crazy close, when you close, keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting the same results. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's a great question. So fun.
All right. What tips would you give us to help us free our time and reclaim our energy?
Making space. I'm just going to take a line right from the title of the series. If you're not slowing down and letting go of things that are not aligned with who you want to be and where you want to be going, where you see yourself going, mm-hmm. you're not going to have time for those things. You're not going to have the space for things, those things to show up if it's something you don't already have. So that would be my number one tip. You know, we always want to feel productive and like we're getting the most out of our days. Well, sometimes doing nothing is actually really productive, very restful for ourselves, so that we can rejuvenate our creativity or our energy to really dedicate or focus on those things that are aligned with where we want to go and what we want to be doing.
That's good. I love that. And also, if you could give the audience one tip or like one actionable thing that they can do today, right now, when they listen to this interview, to help declutter their life, what would that thing be?
Put the time on your calendar.
Okay.
When it's on your calendar, it's real. And then honor that time. You know, even if it's an hour this weekend and you don't have to figure out what it is you're going to be decluttering, but absolutely take that first step and make the time to do it. And you're going to figure out somewhere to work on for an hour.
I love that. That's a very good tip. Now, I think you have a gift for the audience.
Oh, I do. Yes. So I have an organizational tool that, you know, we talked about getting everything in order.
Right.
That's available to everybody for free, bossbudgetingblueprint.com. And it is the framework to get started, to visually organize our finances. And that can even be extended to business numbers. So if you have a business, you know, I see a lot of solopreneurs mm-hmm. intertwining their personal and business finances. And
right.
So even helping separate those and organize things in that way. So Boss Budgeting Blueprint. And
I love that. That's perfect there. Yeah, we'll have a link down below that. And we'll also have links to where they can find you, Michelle, like you know, Facebook and your website and that kind of stuff. But that is such a great gift. You've had so many excellent points and comments today. Do you have one last thing that you would like to leave the audience with?
Well, I just want to thank you, Leanne, for having me on. It's been so fun to share everything. And I would encourage everyone to just soak it up. Soak it all up, soak up all the wisdom, be open to those ideas, and then really, you know, sit with what resonates. Mm-hmm. Because it's not about doing everything right? Saying no to things, back to letting go of things to create space for others, and, you know, really rooting down with what aligns with you, you know, from the series. Go with that gut, and that may just be your next step on your decluttering journey.
I love that. Thank you so much, Michelle. I have so enjoyed talking to you today, and I know that the audience is going to love this as well. They're going to love it as much as I did. And audience, I want you to be on the lookout tomorrow. You're going to get another email from me with more great Azure Space interviews. So until then, I want you to have a wonderful day, and we'll see you later. Bye-bye.